supposed to be here today. Dante from Clerks. Hello, everyone, and welcome to Go Watch a Movie, episode 22. I'm Kelvin.
And I'm Robert.
We are a movie discussion podcast. We discuss movies to their fullest. And today we watched one very interesting movie and one, your standard winter blockbuster. What is the time? Mm-hmm. Yeah. I don't know. Anyway, we watched Great Wall. Thank you. And
Safety Not Guaranteed.
Safety Not Guaranteed. Thank you, Robert. Mm-hmm. I don't know what I'm on today. Anyway, going to go ahead, before we get into those movies, get into some entertainment news last week. First of all, Mystery Science Theater 3000 has an air date for Netflix. I bring up that show quite a bit on this show. April 14th. All 14 episodes will be available.
Right on.
Of this newly funded, Kickstarter-funded season. Can't wait for that because I love Mr. Science Theater. Always fun. Moving on. Michelle Rodriguez joined the cast of Battle Angels, the manga. Mm-hmm. I'm not sure if you're familiar with that.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't know this was filming, but apparently they just finished production, and we should be getting that soon.
Wow.
Yeah. Robert Rodriguez is doing it. So, yeah, that's coming. So from good news movie coming to disappointment that a movie's not coming, Guillermo, I can't ever pronounce his name, Mr. Del Toro, say, has finally officially come out and said Hellboy 3 is not happening.
Was there a reason why?
They didn't say why. Didn't go into detail. He put it on Twitter. He's just like, I can go ahead and officially say Hellboy 3 is not happening, and that's the end of that. That's what he put on Twitter. And then shortly after, Ron Perlman put up that he tweeted, "Hero looking for a job will work for kittens, pizza, and beer." So, but yeah, that's a bit of a downer.
Yeah, that's a downer.
So we'll move on. Mr. Watchbot, if you would please introduce us to the movies.
My niggas.
What?
I have met a girl. She has the voice of an angel. I want her to be my woman, but alas, I have no game. What should I do?
First of all, that was sexist. You should just do your job that I asked of you. So if you wouldn't mind introducing the first movie, please, sir.
Safety Not Guaranteed is a 2012 American science fiction romantic comedy film directed by Colin Trevorrow. The film was inspired by a 1997 Backwoods Home magazine classified ad, itself written as a joke filler by Backwoods employee John Silvera, by a person asking for someone to accompany him in a time traveling excursion.
And that's awesome to know, because that's also how one of my movie that I'm fond of, Tusk, was made. It was, an ad in a Canadian magazine, I believe, to where a guy was asking for a roommate, and the only thing they had to do was dress up as a walrus every so often. And of course, Kevin Smith ran with it and made it a little bit more whacked out. But so the fact that this was done similarly, by a magazine guy, that's pretty cool. What do you think of this movie, Robert?
I gotta say, I really did like this one, more so than the other one. Mm-hmm. I was kind of not surprised because it was kind of like it was indie.
Yeah,
wasn't really it wasn't a high budget there, but like all the performances was were great, and then the ending was, I guess, not really expected but kind of expected at the same time. I liked it.
I enjoyed it too. It was one of those awkward, you're an awkward person, feel good movie. Mm-hmm. I don't know if that makes sense.
Yeah.
Like you, if you kind of feel like the freak, the outcast or whatever, you watch one of these types of movies, kind of like you mentioned Swiss Army Man while we were watching it, Like, don't always discount the weirdo, or don't always think of yourself as a weirdo. And if you do, that doesn't mean you can't accomplish something amazing. Great characters. I love the characters. Each character was, well, the other male intern wasn't all that. He had his little moments. But Nick from The New Girl, he's one of the leads in this. I've never seen the main girl.
I've seen her before. Yeah.
But yeah, this is an interesting story, I think. I really enjoyed, like Watchbot said, guy building a time machine. And the whole time, it's like K-Pax or Lars and the Real Girl. You're wondering, like, is this guy nuts? Or, you know, is this legit? I think he's a little bit of both in this
movie. The whole training sequences when he's, like, training her and himself, they are pretty ridiculous, yes. You know, rolling on the ground and shooting. But it's still fun.
And then the fact that he does it when he's robbing the facility. So he's getting parts for his time machine, and at one point he is robbing a facility to get those parts. And he, like Robert said, he's practicing roles in the montage. And he sees a camera, and he quickly slides down and does this ridiculous roll. And yeah, it's funny. And when Nick's character, I don't know the actor's real name, but Nick from The New Girl, he shall be dubbed. He's got this crush that he's loved for, like, he doesn't get any real closure, it seems. Like, he seems to have taken this job just because he knows there's a woman he's been pining after for the last however many years.
Just get a little bit of closure, just a negative closure. He goes and he gets what I guess he was originally after.
Yeah.
And then when he decides he wants more, she doesn't. So then he's like, dang it.
But yeah, so it's like we get both ends of the spectrum. It's kind of like you can be this whack job and actually get what you want. And you can also be this whack job and it can just fall, you know, you can fall flat right on your face, which Nick does. Because he basically has this crush since high school. And I don't know how old he is now, how many years he has.
I want to say he's like in his, it seemed like he's in his 40s or something, I want to say.
And he finally meets up with her. At first he's like, ew, she's gotten fat and she's ugly. And, well, she looked fine.
Yeah, there's nothing wrong with her.
But then he actually decides to meet with her and she bakes some pies. She's like this homemaker. And he realizes that he really likes her and he was just being superficial. And they get it on. Oh, yeah. And then he really decides he likes her and says, I want you to move back with me. And she's like, whoa, don't be ridiculous. Don't be dumb. Right. Like, this is a wrong movie, mister. Mm-hmm. he kind of plays that same character that from The New Girl.
Yeah. I don't know if he's got a whole lot of range.
Yeah.
It's like, kind of the same.
But that's fine. It's a great, great character. And I like him in that and in this. So.
I like that relationship's contrast to the main character's relationship.
Yes.
How goofy it was, but yet it still sort of is kind of working out.
Mm-hmm. But that's true. The main characters did have kind of a similar thing, except she took a little bit longer to realize it. Mm-hmm. So this guy is, by all accounts, a nut job. He, you know.
It seems like it, but is he?
I mean, we'll get to that. Whatever reason, this dude thinks he can build a time machine, and he is a nutter because he tells his reason for going back is to save his girlfriend who he would loved, and a drunk drove a car through her house. Well, it turns out that's bull.
Is nutter an official term?
That's what the Brits say.
That's nutter. What the Brits say?
Yeah. But they find out that through, I guess, report of back at the magazine they worked for, this woman is alive and she's well. She's actually doing very well because that house was amazing. But yeah, she's alive and it turns out that he's the guy who tried to drive a car into her new boyfriend's house. And only left a dent under the window or something like that. And the girl who's been falling for him because she's the intern covering the story gets inside. All of a sudden she realizes, man, he's crazy. And she runs and goes to him and she's pissed and she wants answers. She's saying, oh, really? Of the lasers? Show me this, show me that. And he's confused. But we're skipping ahead because this guy has a fake ear. Like, they don't explain.
You don't want to skip the fake ear.
No, we'll just skip a fake ear. Was he born with it?
Is that what he was born? He was born that way, and his parents didn't have the money to buy multiple prosthetics, so they had to wait till he became an adult so they could buy that one prosthetic he would always have, and that was his ear.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, there's that.
Yeah, he had a fake. I mean, there's nothing compelling there, but it was a point in the movie, I guess, to show just because you have a defect or that's something's weird about you doesn't mean you can't, you know, be a good person and accomplish those things or whatever they were trying to get across. But yeah, so the feds are chasing this guy or some
government agency.
Some government agency, because he's tried to steal. He got arrested for trying to steal.
Which is a fun point in the movie, because he's like, yeah, there are people are following me or whatever. But you never see anybody following him. But then all of a sudden you see somebody following him.
It's like, yeah. But it's after he robs this place. So I assumed it was just because he robbed that place and this guy's still crazy. Mm-hmm. But he's, you know, this whole time building this quote unquote time machine with all these parts that he's got. They get into his barn where he was building the time machine, and then they're all impressed that there's blueprints all over the wall, like, and their music, the whole, you know, oh my god, it could be true. Music starts playing. Blueprints don't mean a thing. Crazy people can put up blueprints too. Like, you know, I don't know, but they go to this site because he gets spooked, and well. Spoiler, spoiler, spoiler. This dude built a time machine.
Yeah, on a boat.
On a boat.
It's like a DeLorean, but it's a boat.
He's sitting there just waiting. He's ready to go in his ridiculous bandana and this very nice multi-pocketed vest.
And a slightly discolored ear that it really isn't his.
Yeah. And it was like electricity around him, gyroscope spinning and all that. And she comes and she bears her soul to him because she realizes, I do like this guy, crazy or not, and I'm going to go with him. She spills her guts. She lied about not being there for a story.
Was her original story that she told him real?
That she lost her mom?
Yeah.
I'm thinking so.
That was real.
I'm thinking, yeah, because earlier we see her and her dad, and it's just those two. Then they had a lot of Chinese food. Mm-hmm. Like, for two people.
I was thinking that. I didn't say anything.
An absorbent amount of Chinese food. So she tells him that her mom was on her way home. Cue the sad music. And she asked her to get her some chocolate milk. She just had to have that chocolate milk. She was 14. Her mom got the chocolate milk, called her so happy. Honey, I got you that chocolate milk you wanted. And she responded, I don't care. And that was the last time she ever spoke to her mother. And that was her reason. At the time, she was lying that she wanted to go back in time. Their connection. So they get on this boat with all this stuff. And I for sure just thought it was going to blow up. I thought it was going to be.
I knew they were going back in time.
You knew they were going back?
Yeah, you can look at him and tell.
I was like, no, it's going to blow up in their face. Because Nick's on the shoreline.
When he went like that.
He's throwing his fist up. And hit that button. I'm like, here we go. He's going to explode. Because it's a comedy. It's, you know, kind of a slapsticky comedy. Nope. They go. The boat disappears. Fade to black. So,
you didn't like that ending, did you?
No, I liked it. Cause it was just, I got caught off guard. Like, I was expecting with this style of the comedy they've been doing for it to be legit, just, you know, explosion. He goes flying off and, you know, or something, you know, something wacky like that. But no, these, they go back in time. So.
Right on.
I recommend this movie. I enjoyed it.
This was a suggestion?
Yeah, this was a suggestion by, I believe, Joe. I'll say Joe. If I'm wrong, I'll double check. We've had a lot of suggestions come in, which I appreciate so much. We will watch anything, and like, this was a great suggestion. I appreciate it. We 2 in a row.
That was awesome.
Two good suggestions in a row. So, yeah, that's Safety Not Guaranteed. Love the concept. Love the way it played out. Love the message. And if you don't, you know, it's one of those movies where there's a message there if you want it. If not, you can enjoy a comedy, you know, a fun comedy. What about you?
Yeah, you said it perfectly.
Go watch it.
Yep. Go watch it.
So that will bring us to Potter and Family promos.
This week on the Bro Rons podcast. Here's what I'm sure of. I'm sure that I took too high a dosage of my pain medication.
Uh-oh.
And I'm sure that I can't feel my tongue.
Are you high?
HPD, says the woman. That sounds like a venereal disease, says the woman, became irate when a taco truck worker denied her request to reheat her taco when she said it was cold. Come here, breathe on it.
Stay away from me. You have the HPD. You can find the show on iTunes, Podomatic, TuneIn Radio, Google Play, Stitcher, or at bro-rons.weebly.com.
Coming up this week on Now That I'm Older.
Oh, I'll make it very clear for you, because if you're a dumbass in public and you give me an option to shoot you, I'm probably going to take it. So before you go in public and act up, just know there might be a Ken Baldwin around who's just waiting for when you dumbass give me a legal reason. But just called the guy who took over a god realm a weak villain. I am protesting this.
No.
You can make threats if you want to. We will totally turn you over to the Secret Service, but feel free to do it so we can get the credit.
So check us out this Thursday at nowthatimolder.com and anywhere you can find great podcasts, and find us on Twitter at NTIOpod. Thanks a lot. You're the one
in hell. And we're back, and that will bring us to my favorite segment, trailers. I'll go first. Trailer I saw, I had one written down, but I'm going to change it because, like, I saw this one, not at the movie, but I don't know when I saw it, right after I wrote this down. Mm-hmm. Here Alone. This is a post-apocalyptic movie. This is my second post-apocalyptic movie in a row. But, so, apparently there is a plague that's taking over humanity. The trailer is so cool. It sets it up great. There's this family, a mom, a dad, and a little girl in the back seat. And they hear on the radio, stay away from humans. This plague is spreading, and they're doing weird things. They're dangerous. And then it flashes to 1 year later, and she's all alone in this kind of wilderness setting. She's sneaking in houses. Then we get a glimpse of the infected. Fast kind of zombie style runners. Mm-hmm. But it doesn't look like it's going to play like super heavy on that. It's going to kind of work emotional, you know, wise. But she then meets two survivors, which apparently she's been staying alone, and she wants this, I guess, camaraderie. I wouldn't risk it myself, but you've been living alone for a year. It's fine. But she brings them into her camp, and the craziness ensues. But Here Alone.
Here Alone. All right, well, mine is The Devil's Candy.
Uh-oh.
And
this Rob Zombie?
No, this isn't Rob Zombie, surprisingly, by the title. It's a weird-looking one. It starts out with this sort of weird guy who might be a pedophile who kidnaps a boy. Mm. And then you're like, oh, crap. And then there's, like, this artist who kind of looks like Jesus in this house.
Is it Russell Brand?
I don't know. I don't think it is. But he looks kind of like Jesus.
Gotcha.
If you watch the trailer, you'll see. And he's like painting these pictures. They're like these apocalyptic, murderous, crazy-looking pictures. Mm-hmm. And he doesn't know why he's painting them. They come to him somehow. And I think there's somehow – you can't really tell from the trailer exactly, but I'm thinking they're somehow coming from the killer slash weird pedophile type guy.
Gotcha.
And it's kind of like I'm like – The killer is kind of like a Mike Myers without the mask, because he's just like a weird-looking dude. But he's not hiding that he's like this monster. He's like just right there.
Is he huge?
He is a big dude, but he's not big like Michael, because he's more big, stocky. Like, I work in, you know, minefield. I don't know, yeah. Like in a mine or something.
Yeah, gotcha.
But this guy is just larger.
Okay.
But yeah, it just looks really weird, and just the whole. And I guess the guy who's the supposed pedophile, I don't know if he's actually a pedophile or if he just kidnaps a boy, I don't know. Mm. But that guy wants to go back to that guy's house who's the artist, who looks like Jesus, and wants to go back to the house because that's where he grew up or something.
Yeah.
And there's just this weird interplay going on. It just looks really strange, and I like really strange movies, so I'm going to check this one out.
Awesome.
The Devil's Candy.
And this is going to cinemas?
This is going to theaters.
Okay, awesome. And that, ladies and gentlemen, was trailers, and will bring us to the feature presentation. The Great Wall, starring Matt Damon. So, how'd you feel about this?
Well, I think they took a real object.
Yes.
And they built a fantasy movie, around it,
yeah.
Which was fine. Mm-hmm. I don't mind that. It seemed a little ridiculous,
yeah, a little bit
from beginning to end. But and I made a comment because I watched the trailer to this movie. I'm like, I wish Matt Damon would just have a beard or something in it, because I'm afraid I'm just going to see Matt Damon,
yes,
in the entire movie. And in the very beginning of the movie, he does have a beard.
Yeah.
So I appreciated that a little bit. But
what did you think of his dialect?
I couldn't really tell where he was from.
Because it was, sometimes it was just straight, that's Matt Damon. Sometimes he went into like a Scottish style.
Yeah, he had some weird
thing
going on, but I'm not for sure what was happening.
Yeah, I wish they would have made him do something with that, but.
I wish they would have kept the beard.
Yeah.
I didn't want to see Matt Damon. It distracted me.
You know what I think this was? This was his audition for Green Arrow. Because he wants to be in a movie, a superhero movie with Ben Affleck, and Green Arrow is going to get him there.
That's doable. That's possible.
But yeah, I'm gonna say very ridiculous. And we just watched a movie about a psychopath building a time machine,
which seemed completely reasonable to me compared to this. One.
Because I'm gonna say this straight off the bat. The Great Wall of China, if I'm not mistaken, doesn't encircle itself.
I know nothing about the Great Wall, so I'm not going to jump in there. But
like, I'm pretty sure it's not a big circle.
You're probably right.
So couldn't these things go the opposite direction?
They could have probably gone around the wall, but they did the next best thing.
They went, yeah. So the whole idea of why Matt Damon is there and his Spanish-speaking friend, they want black power, gun power. Which I love that idea, because I play a lot of Civilization. Sense. You know, they want gunpowder. Now, we find out that these things crashed here on a meteor into a mountainside. We see what gunpowder can do. Why don't they just sneak to that mountain and blow the living crap out of it?
I don't understand why during that 60-year whatever
these period, things lay dormant for 60.
They don't just sneak up there.
We skipped over Watchbot's introduction. He's going to be real upset with me.
He might quit.
He may quit. Just to set up this movie. Go ahead, Watchbot.
The Great Wall Chinese is a 2016 monster film directed by Zhang Yimou and starring Matt Damon, who plays a European mercenary in China during the Song Dynasty. He encounters the Great Wall of China and meets Chinese soldiers who defend against monsters.
You said Chinese a lot there, Watchbot. Racist. Anyway.
Something racist about that. They're Chinese.
So these things, like, and they jump into the action great, which I was thankful for. Like, they get right to it. Like, we were thrown into action with him escaping this crazy tribe of wandering nomads.
They do that in a lot of movies. They give you this big action scene at the beginning, mm-hmm. and it like gets kind of boring after that. This one doesn't necessarily get boring after that.
Because the attack happens pretty quickly after. Mm-hmm. We find these
I don't know what they were called. I want to call them lizard dogs. Because I don't remember what they were called.
That is a good lizard dogs. Think how they have their eyes on the side of their
which
shoulders.
I wouldn't like, because that doesn't make them a true predator. A predator has their eyes facing forward, not off to the side. That's not a predator.
Look at this guy. freaking hit Natural Geographic over here.
But those aliens were predators.
They have, like, yeah, they're aliens. We find out we get told that a meteor crashed into a mountain, which I said. But like, these guys have gunpowder. They use it so. And I don't know if the message there was, this is too strong of a weapon or what, but like, so sparingly. It's
supposed to be like their Trump or whatever, like their Trump card.
Yeah.
I'll use it when we need, like, the final thing.
Oh, but I explode them. These things, we find out, lay dormant for 60 years.
A long time.
60 years. And they probably are having babies in there. Yeah. That's what I'm assuming.
Well, there's only one. I don't know how they reproduce because there's only one queen.
That's true. And they said she has to eat,
and then the other ones feed the queen meat in their mouths. Yeah. Somehow
they it's a reverse baby bird. But they, I say, why didn't they send a team of archers? You don't even gotta get close, and shoot, blow that mountain to smithereens. I don't know, but that I guess wouldn't have made a good movie. The fact that they didn't do that didn't help the movie either. But. So,
is this actually based off of the legend, or is it just something that was made up?
I wish I would have done that research, but yeah, they stopped the movie by saying,
"Yeah, this is
there are true things about the Great Wall, and then there are legends. This is legend." I don't know if this is a legend, but and then they made it so these things got rid of their dead. I thought was interesting.
I like that. I thought that was pretty cool.
So you don't question, well, then why haven't we found a body? It's because I guess they took their bodies away.
They probably ate it.
Yeah, they probably.
Back to the queen.
I like the concept of the queen, how she walked around with kind of a royal guard.
Which is Spartan lizard dogs.
Yeah.
Shield. I kind of liked how they shielded her because it was like, especially at the end, mm-hmm. it was almost kind of like from Naruto, Gaara, mm. who didn't really have to use his sand.
Yeah,
to, it just automatically defended him.
Yes, because they were very much a hive mind and she was the brain. And these things just popped their little shield head things open and stopped everything. But we're just skipping around this movie a lot. The story, what do you think overall of this? The
story was kind of blah
yeah.
for me. I mean, like I said, it was... I just can't get away from the word ridiculous. Like, the mm-hmm. whole thing was ridiculous to me. I don't know. I mean, and I like this genre of film. It doesn't, you know, bother me. And there was some beautiful imagery in it. Like,
yes.
the nunchuck drummers were awesome.
Oh, that first beat they did had me tapping my foot. Oh, getting my groove on that.
Those are pretty sweet. But, you know, and then the whole, I didn't necessarily agree that the whole leaping down.
Not the best way to kill aliens?
The bungee cord spear throwers weren't really my thing. They didn't seem logical.
So 60 years you have to develop a weapon to kill these guys. They come up with, we're going to leap off platforms, tie the bungees, and spear them in the head as they climb the wall. Yeah.
I mean, it looks beautiful, but it just doesn't.
Their color coded armors were pretty cool looking too. The blue, like that, it was a visually stunning movie. The aliens could have looked better, but like as far as all the martial arts style, the cinematography, the colors were amazing.
There was one scene that bothered me.
No,
at the very end,
mm-hmm.
when the main woman in the movie and the main guy, Matt Damon. Jump out of that tower.
Oh.
And they're swinging on a rope.
Yeah.
In slow mo. That.
Why would. Is your modern day action last sequence thrown into.
It just, yeah. I just had to take a step back.
I liked his character, I thought was pretty cool. He's this legless style archer who rarely misses. He's braver than he knows because he's has a troubled past, I guess, like thief, murderer, apparently. But he's fought his entire life to eat, to earn money, that sort of thing. Which he says kind of like, I'm going to impress these people. But I guess it was his first time in the Chinese land because they're all about honor and that sort of thing. So I don't know what
trust.
Yeah, trust. Which is crazy. She wanted this guy who they had just about imprisoned or almost killed probably to get strapped to a rope and just take a leap of faith.
I would totally jump. Because if they wanted to kill you, they would have already done it.
That's true. That's true. But what if you, like, smacked into the wall or something? Yeah. So the scene in the trailer with the bowl bouncing, mm-hmm. still just as cool to me in the movie. Like, I thought that was pretty cool. If you haven't seen that, check out the trailer. I'm not going to explain it.
That was the best use of his archery.
Yep. For some reason, shooting these... what do you call them?
Lizard dogs.
Lizard dogs in the eyes is what killed them.
Yes.
You can stab them down the throat and the head, slice their heads open.
So on their head, what you would traditionally think of as a head, mm-hmm. where the eyes would have been, was that their nose?
I'm thinking. Okay. And then, they kind of have like a dome type of...
They have a dome plate. Thing, but with some, like, almost like a design on it.
Too. Yeah.
Like I'm not sure what was going on.
Ink and Maya design. And
did they have a mane? The bell ones have a mane? Yeah. So, yeah, it's odd. Well, maybe lizard lions is more appropriate.
And the queen had this kind of V-shaped web that she shook when she wanted to get their attention. There's just so many other ways they could have gotten around that wall. Like and they kept making the point that these are smarter and... They've evolved over. They're not the same that they fought 60 years ago.
I think they could have gotten over the wall in the first little siege that they did.
Yeah.
But they just kind of stopped for some reason and then ran. I don't know why.
Yeah, because like they still clearly had millions of these things. Mm-hmm.
They could have just run right over the wall if they wanted to. I guess that was a distraction so they could burrow a tunnel.
So basically, these things, Shawshank Redemption, they ended up framing their way under this wall. I don't know. The more I talk about this movie, the less I like it. Mm. It's not a horrible movie. It's your kind of blockbuster. You know, we're gonna throw a lot of money into it. Have some cool action scenes. Here's a little love interest for you.
Which they never really developed that.
Nobody gets. There's no Nicky going on here. William Dafoe. What do you think?
It wasn't really that great of a character. It was
true. Okay.
Yeah, he didn't really go anywhere.
He didn't really shine.
Like Boondock Saints.
No. They threw a William Dafoe in kind of as a, like Robert said, a throwaway.
Did you see what he was going to do when he had the guy go up to the cliff to look for the high ground?
Yeah, I saw that coming. That guy, and this train cutthroat thieving. Maniacal, because we've learned this, all these things I've just said about this guy, the whole movie, he double-crossed you, but yet, in an instant, he gets double-crossed and left as he tries to escape with gunpowder. I won't say too much more about this one. Kind of glad we saw Cure for Wellness instead of this, the last episode, but great wall.
Yeah, not so great.
Not so. The wall's great, but the movie's not so great. Because I still am blown away by the fact that thing exists. Mm-hmm. Like, is just.
How many years did it take to build? What did it say? Like 1,700?
Yeah. That's just mind blowing. So that's generations building this wall. And you can see it from space, so that's amazing too. The Great Wall, though. And that. Will bring us to this week. We're doing suggestions. That'll bring us to suggestions. You want to go first, sir?
Sure. I am going to suggest The Edge of 17.
I think I've seen this
one. Just recently watched this one. Thought it was awesome. Mm-hmm. I know there's a whole bunch of these, you know, coming to age teen stories. They're in high school. They're going through whatever. You know, they learn something and then everything works out. I mean, there's a bunch of them, but this one was. A little bit different. Mm-hmm. I mean, still stands up to all the other great ones. I mean, there's been quite a few of them, you know. So I think it's worth the watch, even though it does some of the same things that a lot of movies that we love have already done.
Yeah. Okay. The Edge of 17.
The Edge of 17.
All righty. And mine today is The Man from Earth. This is one I watched, I think, 2 weeks ago, last week maybe. A buddy of mine showed it to me. This is an interesting movie. So it's all done in one room. I think there's like 8 cast members, maybe more. But this guy is, we find out this guy's leaving. He's a teacher. He's leaving. All of his, he's a professor. All of his professor colleagues are there to send him off because he's a brilliant man. And he's leaving abruptly. It's like six months and he's leaving. And they're wondering, where are you going? Where are you going? Where are you going? And he's like, you know what? I'm going to tell you guys. I'm a caveman. And they're all like, what are you talking about, caveman? He's like, I don't know how. I can't explain to you what caused it, but I've been alive for, can't remember, since the, the caveman era. And then it goes into this detailed thing of all these scientific minds asking him what he's been doing for all this time, how long he did this, where he was, did he do this? There's a bunch of stuff that I don't want to reveal because this is one you want to sit down, put it on, and just pay complete attention because there's no explosions, there's no big that. It's all done in one room, it's all conversation, but you're trying to learn what it's kind of like what we just watched. Is this guy nuts or is he really a caveman? You know, so The Man from Earth. It's a fantastic watch. And did you get a chance to look at who's fighting today?
I do not.
It's Stansfield and Fletcher. Because we're going back to back around.
Yep.
So the big bad guy movie villain challenge thing is something we started way back in episode 4, I think. We both picked 10 villains in movies that we thought should deserve the title of the best movie villain ever. We put out a criteria of their plan, their accomplishments, how well they did these things, and we've been duking it out ever since to see who would make it. We did our first, we did all of our picks. We went down a litter. There's a bracket on GoWatchMovie.com. You can look up that I just updated today. And so all of them, all of our people have fought. Now we're on round 2 of those fights. Everyone who moved on. And we have gotten to Fletcher at Stansfield, both Robert's picks. And now we both have said earlier on, this is not just like, oh, well, my guy lost. Boo-hoo. We're both deciding. We're talking about why these people are great. And so if they're in this round, then we both like these people. Now, but this one is going to be tough, I think.
Because they're also both on like a level playing field. It's not like some superpower, like Superman versus, you know, like some Lex
Luthor. Yeah.
It's like there's like a, you know, these guys are like on the same playing field.
So in your mind, who do you think out of these two now did it best?
Well, clearly, since Fletcher is my number 10 and Stansfield was my number 9, I'm more Stansfield than I am Fletcher.
Yes. And Fletcher's from Whiplash, Stansfield's from
Beyond the Professional.
Thank you. Is that where you're at?
Pretty much. I mean, I can't really see. I mean, Fletcher could yell at Stansfield all he wants, and Stansfield. He's just gonna pop a pill.
Yeah,
you know, crook his neck into an awkward position, and then listen to some Mozart or some Beethoven, or something, and then get
kill him. Probably,
yeah.
or have her kill him. You know.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe these two would, you know, find a common bond somehow with the music.
That's pop. You know what? I never thought about that, but you're right.
Like, I've really, really... Robert introduced me to Whiplash, and I'm glad he did, because it's an...
Whiplash.
Very amazing movie. Even if you're not a jazz fan, like, this one is just... Boom, it's in your face. We did an episode on it, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
You mentioned it,
but yeah, I love the character of Fletcher. And I'm stalling right now, trying to think of something that could, like he is, by definition in this versus Stansfield, less of a villain, in my opinion, because he, you know, he wanted to succeed at his job. So, whereas Stanfield was literally a murdering assassin.
Yeah, I can see your point there. But I think with Stansfield, he was evil, but evil with sort of like a purpose, like if you had a job. But I think Fletcher is just inherently evil.
Like it's in his core?
It's just in his core. He's just evil. Because he just wants to manipulate people to try to get a result out of them, as opposed to, I mean, he could do that by other means. He doesn't have to be a jerk about it. Mm-hmm. But he feels like being just a jerk to everybody gets the response that he wants out of them. So he's looking for somebody who's weak enough to be able to be responsive to his jerkiness to give him what he wants.
See, and in that way, he reminds me so much of House. Ever watch House? Mm-hmm. House is a doctor, and he's that way. He is a jerk to everyone. Well, we find out later on that he's really just a jerk. But he does it at first to get the best out of his people that he's training around him. Mm-hmm. But we're not talking about House. Okay, so let's say Fletcher's an assassin. Could he take those, what he is, and use that?
Well, yeah, because he's inherently that thing. Mm-hmm. I think in any situation you put him in, if he wasn't a music lover, he didn't want to be like, you know, working at this music school, whatever you put it, whatever situation he's going to be in, he's going to use his gift, which is to be able to manipulate people, you know, to...
But would that be as effective as an assassin?
Well, I think Stansfield is more than just an assassin.
Though. Yeah, yeah.
The bare bones of Stansfield is a crooked cop. Mm-hmm. So, but he's got whatever a cop has where he can, like at the end of Leon the Professional, where everybody else is running around, they're not knowing what's going on. And there's you know, Leon, he's dressed up like one of them trying to escape, and he notices it.
Yeah.
So he's got that inherent thing about him that's, you know, cop-like, but yet he's using it for evil. Mm-hmm. So they both do a similar thing. I just think Stansfield does it better.
Gotcha.
It might be because he's like batshit crazy, but
yeah, he is.
And he's on drugs, so that doesn't help either. And you know,
yeah. And there's something about that craziness that I love.
Yeah, so it's the crazy that I think draws me to that character. Mm. I mean, I love seeing when he's in the bathroom. And she goes in there to kill him. I hope somebody's seen this movie. It's like, I'm not ruining it for you. And he's just like, he's hiding behind the door. He just like, he knows she's coming.
Yeah.
Like, how do you know that somebody's coming? He's got that inside of him. He's like, he's that good of a cop, even though he's a bad cop. You know, and he closes the door and he's like, you care about your life. You know?
Yeah.
She's like, yeah, well, I'm glad. Because I take no pleasure from taking the life of somebody who doesn't care about it. I mean, how evil and violent is that to say to some little kid, especially a little girl? So,
yeah. Well, with that said,
it's weird though, because Fletcher does the same thing. He throws chairs at people and screams at them and
hits them.
Tells them they're worthless. And why are you in here? You can't play or note. You know, it's just mm-hmm. So they're close, but I just think Stansfield's just, he wins to me. I don't know how you feel.
I think I'm on the same boat. Because as much as I love Fletcher, and I would love to see Fletcher continue, I think we'll reach the point where, for me, I'm going to take it to his villainous role. And he just doesn't quite meet that villainous role as everyone else mm-hmm. At this point in the tournament. So, yeah. We're going to move Stansfield forward and continue on next week with more battles, more evil. but yeah, that'll bring us to our end here. A few things I would love to plug. If you want to go to gowatchthemovie.com, that site is just booming with busyness. We have Robert's review corner there, where he's been giving us, graciously giving us these amazing reviews on movies that he's turning me on to. So I'm sure he's turning you guys on to. Just amazing stuff. I also started a forum on the site now to where I'm hoping you all will join in on the discussion. You can talk about anything. We want to kind of keep it movie related and keep it kind of toned down. You don't have to be completely PG, but just in case a kid gets on there, you know. But we want you guys to, we want to continue the discussion after the podcast. You guys want to talk about something we talked about on here, you hop on that forum and you can talk to us about it. There's different sections for genres of movies. There's comedy, horror. There's a suggestion forum. If you want to leave a suggestion on there, it's easier than ever. Just hop on. I do believe you have to create an account, but it's just wants your email address. And then you just log on to the forum, leave a suggestion. There's also a concession stand part of the forum just for general talk. So check that out, please. And you can find the podcast on gowatchmovie.com. I put it on there every week. Also, iTunes, subscribe and leave a review, please. Podomatic.com. You can find us on Facebook and Twitter. We're also on Stitcher. We're all over the place. Just search Go Watch a Movie in any podcast providing thing, and you can get us. That is Go Watch a Movie this week. I'm Kelvin.
And I'm Robert.
Go Watch a Movie.